Daddy, we live in the dream, captain in the field. I am a drink like Champions League. Every 25, it's even the only feed. Man, I'm about to be rolled like a Ferrari. We got a bunch, this is the love of the tweet. Create my own leagues, so off we compete.
Although here's Canapri, he's on a hat-trick and he's in.
Hey guys, what's up? That's right, this is bonus content for you guys. You might have to make a Patreon for this kind of stuff. We are doing undefensible takes. Myself and Daniel have five takes each that we're going to tell the other person. Gather where we came from with these takes. And then try and get the other person feel on it. See if we can convince them about kind of thing and move from there. So, yeah. As I just said, I hear my dog Pats. Pats, was he good, my guy?
Good. John tell Marco cussing this. So he said like this one going on the plus the corner flag talk plus membership Patreon only channel. So he say we're good to go. Give me the green light.
So yeah. Alright, so I will go first. Take. Mine is that, the first one is that, I think Heung-Min Son only has the reputation he has. What a fun, boy. We even getting it sweaty yet, boy.
I think
Heung-Min Son only has the reputation and the career, I guess, that he's had only because of Harry Kane. I believe that in any other side that he's going to, he would not be as highly rated as he is now. Thoughts?
This is number one bullshit, I think. I think that is what that is.
So my thing is, right, though, I think that Harry Kane... No, let me explain my take now, though.
Yeah.
My thing is, though, is that I think with Kane, right? I don't know if Kane falls into that category of being generational or not, though. But for what is with him, what he is as a striker, I think is the most unique I've ever seen, though. I don't think you'll ever see anybody that combines the way that he creates as well as how little of a striker he is, right? And I think ever since he went into this role of being this hybrid striker and creator in one, is when Son became what Son is, right? And I think that it's not as simple as to say, oh, if he played with KDB or he played with Messi or other highly creative players. I don't think it's as simple as that. I think it's the way that Kane plays and the way that Kane can now drop deep and not just create space, but Kane literally doesn't look and make these passes and puts the man into space for him to score, right? And I don't think that any other player in the world gets him that kind of space, that kind of opportunities like the way that he does. You know, I think that, no, don't get me wrong. I think Son is a highly, highly, highly clinical player. I really believe that. I think that if he's not the best finisher in the Prem, he's probably top three and definitely top three in the world, in my opinion, right? But my thing is with the man, dog, is that outside of scoring, he doesn't have an elite level at anything else in his game now, in terms of dribbling or creating. Or create a chance of himself, really. Like the most you would ever see the man actually dribble is to, like, just open up space for a shot. But, like, to see actually take on somebody, it's like a one in a million times you see it. Like, I know it has that clip with Burnley, and they might have a few outside there, but it's not, like, a consistent asset of his game that is something that he can rely on. His reliance is getting the ball in the box from somebody or getting the ball on a counter from somebody. And I think that is purely because of the way that's fully set up to maximize him through Kane. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think you defend yourself real good. But I don't know about it. Hard to tell because they've been together for so long now. What if it was the other way around? Like, what if Kane made him into that type of player just by making life so easy for him?
But then does that even feed him a point more than that it's less about him and more about Kane?
No, I thought you were saying that where does this have nothing like it was something like Son couldn't do this for our next club or something like that. What I'm trying to say is that I think if Son was in a different environment, he may have molded into a different player. I think Son is an adaptable player. I think that
okay.
If he had a different weakness in his game, he would have devoted time to fixing that weakness. So if he, say for example, played for Liverpool and Mane never existed and he needed to be that player, I think he could have become that player. If
like being a triple on that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think he would have just go ahead and worked on it in his younger years. Instead, I think he worked on different things. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's hard to tell, but the more I talk about it, it makes sense.
Appreciate that. Is that, look, it's not that, by no means am I saying that he's not good or anything, you know? But like, not that in any way that I take FIFA ratings dictate how people are viewed in real life, right? But like, mm-hmm. though, they literally give Neymar and Son the same rating, though. I find that is ridiculous, though. Like, even for Neymar having a down here and Son being golden boot, like, dog, fair enough, right, dog? But, I don't think that Son should be in that same category as I'm like, I don't even know if I really believe that Son as a player should be in the same category as Salah, then, you know? Because, like, I still believe that Salah has weapons outside of his finishing, you know? I still think Salah, as we are seeing this season, he can actually create. He even creates for himself at times. You know, like, people just club Salah, though. But Salah's actually dribble past men and get around men and stuff like that. I don't see that with Son. Like, I don't ever see that with Son. And though, maybe it is the case that like, he would have adapted to a different environment. Though. But I then I'll be wandering into the whole dimension of what if Snabboy. And I'm all watching, like, what I see in front of me now, dog. Like worse said though, like I think though that you put him in the Chelsea side though that he struggles though. Like he struggles. No matter how creative, how clinical he is, he struggles though. And that's because a lot of these players, when we look at some of the goals still and score so far this season though, was stuff that he had to create space for himself. He had to dribble and open up spaces for himself. I can't see Son doing what Sterling does, that kind of thing, you know?
Okay.
At least he started off hot and sweaty.
Yeah. I hope I can match that energy. I have one here. It's actually surrounding the England side. I want to ask you something for this, though. Like,
okay.
If you was given keys to manage England for the World Cup, right? Like, very quickly, who would be your starting 11?
It would be Ramsey Lewis for me. It would be Reece James at right back. It would be Stones and Tomori at centre back. It would be Chilwell at left back. It would be Declan Rice in the DM. And this one kind of controversial, but I would start Ward-Prowse next to him. I would play Saka right wing. I would play Madison or Foden at cam. I would play Stone the left wing and Kane on top.
Yeah. I think they should play a 3-4-3. For this World Cup, that's my hot take right there. It would really seem like everybody would like them to transition into this 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 type of system, right? Because they have great players for it and all that. I think England best bet is to go in with a 3-4-3 and have multiple reasons why. First of all, I think some of their best players in the squad already plays in that system, right? Second of all, the manager has been playing that system for too long now.
Yeah, that's why I think they should play. I don't see them switching and working. Yeah.
Exactly. It would not work. Because how you come a month before and change the whole system just because...
I think it's like fast. They wouldn't have no friendly games between now and the World Cup. Eh? So they wouldn't even get time to like test it out.
Right. So even worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that the 3-4-3 is England's best bet for those reasons. And also kind of because of the problem that Foden poses. I don't think Foden should get game time in the World Cup. At least not in the important matches.
Ooh, that is the hot thing. That was a hot thing.
You think so?
I think it's a hot thing because of how highly touted Foden is. But I also agree though, I don't think Foden should start up because I think for the best positions, I think for the plays the most, I think there are players I would start over. And I just be completely honest. You know, because for the players as a winger now, and the truth is, I start turning attacker over him. You know, and then to just all of a sudden try and drop him as an attacking midfielder. So I can't tell you the last time I've seen for the players an attacking midfielder. So to all of a sudden just assume that he can just go into that. Like, that is why when I call my lineup just now, I release a slash Madison, but the truth is, well, based on how I would have wanted to play, I think Madison would have made way more sense in that kind of side, you know? As somebody who will be on the striker and things like that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it makes sense for him to try and put Foden in just because he's He's probably one of the most gifted players on the team.
Yeah.
But I don't think it makes sense to play him systematically because he never played any system, first of all. He never the few times he played for England, he hasn't looked good in that system. I think his best position is left wing, but Sterling is just too good for England to ever drop that guy. And then his second best position is probably centre forward, but you're not going to play over Kane. That also brings me to this other thing, right? I think if England was to ever play any system with four at the back, you might as well just drop Kane. I don't think you're going to look good in any of those systems. Not 4-2-3-1.
Drop who's sorry?
Kane.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah,
I like that. Double it.
I don't think he could look good in that system. He just dropped too deep. And if you were to drop deep in our 4-3-3, you're going to run into him midfielders too much. And if you were to drop deep in our 4-2-3-1, he's going to have bonks into the cam. So,
you know what? What I would say just counter that, though, is like, I would say somebody like Maddison, because he runs beyond the striker so much, I think it might work then.
Maybe.
And that's why I call Maddison in that one. Oh, I'm like, I know that sounds real weird when I say it and I didn't defend it. But the reason I started James Ward-Prowse is because I would, like, from a talent point of view, I would start Phillips and Bellingham. But as I see Bellingham right now, I don't see him as somebody as a controller of the game. And Ward-Prowse to me is England's best bet as somebody who could dictate play from deep and control the tempo for them. Like, I don't know who else would do that for them. And that's why I said Ward-Prowse.
I don't know, though. I actually think Rice could do that. I think Rice and Bellingham would be a nice combo in this World Cup. And then and the nice thing about this system, too, is that England has some nice centre-backs right now, right? I think Tomori have to play. I personally think John Stones is very good as well. I will play him. And Walker does make a nice centre-back in the three, at least.
Can I call?
Go ahead.
I won't start with
that. Well, I was gonna say stylistically, White looks good there too, or should be good there.
I think they should play White there.
I don't know because Walker just have all that pace, you know, and I think you need a fast centre back in when they play in 3-4-3 because it do have.
But I think it's Tomori is really fast though.
So you're gonna play White on the left.
I'll play Tomori on the left, actually. Can you play on the left side back between him and Kalulu?
Okay.
I'll just have to think.
Yeah,
but, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think he's playing left side back. So, yeah, I'll play on the left.
Okay.
And because of the way that Teo Hernandez is play and he's bound for so much, Tomori comfortable in defending space like that now.
All right, yeah. Fair enough. Cool. No, I mean, anyway, the Walker thing, it's not even that deep. Like, yeah, if you ever play Ben White, does I think that's fine. Wait, what right back you play? James, right?
Yeah,
me too. And then
like,
that's...
It's something like you say now, right? It's just like players being untested, right? Like, you're not going to just drop Trent into being a right wing back just so dog.
Exactly. Yeah, and on the other hand, James is a very, very good... wing back. So yeah, that basically wraps that up. Maybe it seemed like common sense to you, but I know most of the people out there, and that's why I had to ask you in the first place now, because you said a four back system. I think most people out there would want England to play four at the back this World Cup.
Yeah.
I don't think that's smart. So yeah, that was my contemptuous whatever the hell. So all right.
I feel like I started real hot and sweaty there, man. I probably should have saved that sort one for last night. I feel like that was my most hot and sweaty one. But we'll keep it going. My next one is let's see. I'll write it down here. Right. My next one is that I think Fabregas is a top three Premier League midfielder of all time.
Really?
Yeah. I think quality-wise, and then given the way that his Chelsea career went and he got two Premier League titles to add to his name, I think he deals it up. I think he has the second most assists in Premier League history. And, dog, my thing is, right, I rate Gerrard. I obviously rate Gerrard, right, dog? But my thing is, you can't be the greatest Premier League midfielder of all time without the medal, dog. Like, that's just the sad reality of it, though. At some point, though, in playing the league for 50-plus years, though, you had to have 1 mile to show fit if you want to be in that conversation to me, though. You know? Like, okay. That is what would stop Keane from being top three, in my opinion, too, now, boy. You know, like, no, you're going to have the record, though, man. Fair enough, right, though? But I still put Henry and Aguero above you. Because at the end of the day, though, you had to be able to cross the line at some point, though, because then all the quality was for.
So,
and it's not like these players did not have moments to win the league, said dog. Gerrard literally slipped to throw with the league a year, dog. You know, Keane was fighting with Leicester up until the last two matches, dog. It's the same thing. And with Fabregas, like I say, he has the second most assists of all time. He has the third most assists in a single season, dog. And when you look at what he did with Arsenal, dog, he carried them, dog. You know, he had literally a season with 20 goals, 20 assists in all comps, dog. And then with Chelsea, he got 18 assists as they won the league. He won the league on the Conte. I think talent wise he's up there, though. I think achievements wise, like he put himself up there with what happened at Chelsea. And more so from a talent point of view, I think he beats most of these midfielders. Now, in hindsight, though, when KDB's career finished, he got end up there, right? But for the time being, though, a players who no longer play in the Prem and stuff like that, I think when you look at Roy Keane and Scholes and Gerrard and Lampard and Vieira, and think, though, only Vieira. And who else? Not only Vieira, I would honest. And you know, man, just say that's biased or what? Only Vieira would say clear him and me and Roy Keane in terms of what he did, though. But like to say that I think that Lampard was a better player than him, I don't think so. I mean, that meant longevity, go and fight for them right now because them was in the league for 15 years and get the pop stats every year, though. But when you look at like the nitty gritty of it, though, what them pop season like. When you watch like Fabregas best 7 years in the league compared to Gerrard best 7 or Lampard best 7, dog, I don't think there's much between them, though, you know?
Will you say that Kante had a better impact on the league than Fabregas?
Maybe. But I think that's somewhat recency bias, though, because, dog, Fabregas came in a time where 4-4-2 was standard in the league, you know, dog. And he changed that, you know. That is when teams started to play more 4-2-3-1 and 4-3-3s in the league and stuff like that.
I mean,
4-2 was standard in the NBA, and isn't that somewhat revolutionary in itself?
But then, in another sense, like, DMs wasn't running around the place like Wildlands like Kante before he came and did that. Like, the last we would have seen that was probably Makalele. That was a long
right.
time
ago. And I'm not saying no, right? But what I'm saying is, like, I think that is where the recency bias comes in. Like, his evolution was something that we know more recently. Whereas, we wasn't, like, being so honest, though, like, we wasn't watching football in 2004 to really totally understand the revolution that was, you know? To move away from two striker systems and move away from these touchline wingers and stuff like that, you know?
I mean, true. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to say he in the top three, then I don't know
yeah, how... I would say Kanye's up there. No. I would say Kanye's up there as well. So
yeah.
Then, but then I think then there's at least a conversation to be had then. That far
yeah, there's a conversation. Up. I think he kind of close to other players. I would say he kind of close to KDB too. I might even I will put
no,
KDB.
No. Hear what I say, dog. KDB, dog. When he done, dog. Even all now, dog. He is there, right, dog. But I mean, like KDB is still achieving, is what I get at now. But like he's still doing things. Like I'm not considering players who are actively still doing their thing.
Okay.
You know, so that's why I was really considering Kante either. But like Fabregas, even though he hasn't officially retired, he played for Como or something though. I think that's a B-side in the Spanish league or something. He's not really in the conversation anymore in terms of what he can achieve in the league. I thought what players who's been there and gone and those who's already been gone, I think he's top three amongst them.
Okay. I mean,
I'm
just saying, like, you make good points, so I don't want to fight you down too much. At the end of the day, that is your point, so I don't want to come here just absolutely fighting it. But I think I might not agree, but if I was somebody that maybe wasn't so hard headed, you might have convinced me.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'll try to match in as well with here.
All right.
I gotta say that I think Todd Bowley is having a fantastic impact at Chelsea.
I like those.
I wasn't sure if people would agree with that or not, but I just put it in anyway. Because
I'm not sure either. So you know what I need? Like the one with England, I understand where you come from. This one you need to convince me.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Given what he inherited, I think the fact that he came in and started spending his money off the bat is exactly what Chelsea needed. Not every owner would be so lenient with their cash, right?
Chelsea's aggressive.
Yeah, that too. Chelsea spent a lot of money. And first of all, this is a man that I don't even think he know too much about football. Like, the way he was pursuing Ronaldo and thing. But I'll get into that after, though. I'm not sure exactly how much he understand the sport. I'm not saying he don't know what football is. He obviously does. But I don't know the depth, right? So for a man to come here and just start shelling all this kind of money, but again, it is exactly what Chelsea needed, because I was fearful that Chelsea would have to really adapt to become a club that has their finances like managed much, much more strictly, right? I think Abramovich was extremely lenient, and I think it was concerning when he left about how Chelsea finances would look in the coming years. And I think Bowley hasn't skipped the beat on that facet, at least, right? I think that firing Tuchel was a masterstroke. That man needed to be gone if Chelsea was ever to succeed again. All credit to Tuchel for the 6 months of brilliance that he brought to Chelsea. But since then, right, it really been downhill. So I think Bowley needed to fire that guy. So again, that's number two, right? Where I think Bowley really impressed me. Fire Tuchel. And then number three, which is kind of similar to number two, I think he bring the best possible guy you could have bring for the job.
Yeah.
Right? Which is Potter. I think Potter is somebody this guy's accustomed to the league already. He knows how to win games in the league. He plays almost the same system that Chelsea has. In a sense, Brighton is basically like just a B-tier Chelsea, if you was to really think about it, right? So,
yeah,
he did not go from out the league and try to get some big name. I don't know who advised him about Graham Potter, but whoever did, or if he came up with that on his own, whatever the case is, that is number three brilliance. The next part now, I think that Bowley is more of a businessman than a footballer, right? What I mean by that is, I don't think he's here really to care whether Chelsea win games or not. I think he is here to make sure that the finances of the club is very good. And I think that's why he really made that push for Ronaldo. Because I think getting Ronaldo, it would have been on both sides of the coin, I could have seen it working out. First of all, I think Ronaldo is still that type of player that if you feed him enough, he was a lot of goals for you, right? And Chelsea's main problem was at striker. They could have created chances, especially from out wide, right? They just couldn't finish them. So from a footballing aspect, Ronaldo might have actually worked. I was playing devil advocate here, right? I don't really think it might actually work. But do you know what it would have done for the finances of the club? Massive upticks, right? Because forget about the jersey sales and thing, right? I don't know if people actually understand how jersey sales does work, but the club don't make money from selling jerseys.
Yeah.
Right? But the type of fans that he would bring to Chelsea is ridiculous. And let's just put one more thing in our minds, right? When Ronaldo retires, which is a time that's coming very soon, obviously the last club that he plays for is the last club that will have like rights to his jerseys and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Bowley was actually thinking about that, but if he signed Ronaldo, there is a very, very, very good chance Ronaldo would have retired as a Chelsea player, right? Maybe he would have moved back to Portugal or wherever the hell. When you think about Ronaldo, last thought that would have come to mind, Chelsea, right? That sets up Chelsea for financial success in the future. Yeah, so like all that coming together, and you had to remember how important finances is to Chelsea, right? I think Bowley has a fantastic it couldn't really be much better than what this guy is doing right now. It have all the memes, obviously, because he's an American and he says soccer. But who really cares? I mean, I honestly think that that he came into a tough situation and he rolled with it like really, really good. As good as he could possibly do. I think Chelsea in fine shape moving forward, especially with Graham Potter and the current players that they have.
I think with Potter, I want to say something. So, like, I have said since the start of the season, I don't think Conte can stay on the season. I don't think that he's going to stay. I think this was just a temporary thing for him, right? One of my biggest fears, though, was that I mean, he hasn't flamed out yet, right? Conte's obviously still winning games or whatever. But I think that at some point, the results start on match performances, and that's a whole other conversation, right? But I think that what I was really fearful about was that they like get Potter after. That's how highly I see Potter now, boy. And I think them getting Potter was arguably the hottest manager they could like get off the market in terms of you want to build your club behind somebody for future success. I think that this is the guy, you know. I think he's definitely the guy. And I think with him, I think like he could have easily gone out there and tried to attempt Zidane or try to attempt some big name, you know, and try and appease fans that way to try and get a big name in. But instead, he stuck to what his research said, stuck to what has proven in the league, and it has been a really big upturn in that. Something else I was going to say, too, was that with Boehly, right? I know people have been calling him because he's an American, but, like, dog, when we watch this weekend go on here, right, with the charity match and the sidemen for on, dog, there's clearly a market for the parts of the game that aren't all competitive. You know, people laughed about him, about the All-Star game, though. But, dog, 2.6 million people tuned into a charity game with the sidemen, dog. With the way the quality of football was not high. You know, it was more about kicks and, yeah, I mean, I can't lie, though. Somebody goes, it's actually real bad, I think. But my point being, the quality was not like, imagine you do that now, where you make Liverpool, City, and United combine 9-11, you make Spurs, Chelsea, Arsenal combine 9-11, and you go out and do that now, right? And there are some adaptations. Now, I'll be honest, the only reason I against it is because don't kill me dead or we go out there and somebody injures Saka, dog, I will trip off, dog, right? Because it can be over something meaningless, right? However, from just an observer of the game, dog, it would open your eyes, dog. It would open your eyes to something like that. That's an event of the game, you know? Yeah. I don't think that all his ideas should just be turned away so easily. You know, that was what I was trying to get at.
I agree with that, and I think it's a lot about context too. I think people take what the man say out of context. I mean, out of context. Because I went back and watched the interview, and dog, he didn't really, I didn't think he was that serious. Like, it was just something he mentioned. He was like, yeah, maybe at our All-Star game. And then, man, all of a sudden, this American coming here with your All-Star games, and we really feel it is. Dog, I mean, come on, dog. The man was even being that serious about it. So that does tell me where his mind is, though, and he definitely on the money. So, you know, it's always good to have a guy that at least thinking about that in the league too. So yeah, but what do you think about the whole Boehly thing, though? You think
I'll be honest. I think you convinced me. I think you actually did get me the thing. Not a problem. I did think a lot of things he did was real fire from the hip and thing after kind of way. But you put the perspective from it to think that maybe there really is a bigger plan at play. Now, this season, I think, could be rough for Chelsea. But I agree with what you said on the pod, that I do think that they'll make top four still. I do think so. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like with Chelsea, it's supposed to be more than that to them. I mean, like, Chelsea have been perennially third for like two seasons now, or top four for three seasons now. And you expect Chelsea, with the names that they have, and the names they attract, and the money they spend, to start to push the boat a little higher. With all due credit for what Tuchel did with the Champions League, I still think like it's still left a lot to be desired, you know. And people can say, "But oh, your side number in the Champions League." Yes, I am fully aware of that, though. But it's more about the greater context of things. You know, there are variables at play of a cup football that allow sometimes not the best team to win, and whereas with a league, that's hardly ever the case. You don't win a league by not being the best team, though. I mean, you could probably say what happened with Leicester. Yeah, fine, but we all know that's like the greatest anomaly that'll ever happen in football now, but you know? So yeah, that's kinda where I land on that. I like that though. I like that take, boy. My next one is that I think that we will work. I've said this to you before. So
I think my classes get cancelled. Hurricane, that we talking about? Yes, sir. Yeah, man.
I forgot what I was going to say.
I'm sorry, but classes got canceled.
Right, yes. Happy for you, bro. I wish my work would have got canceled. I think that we were robbed of what could have been one of our generation's greatest strikers.
And who?
And that guy name is Marcos Alonso.
No, no. You're not gonna convince me. I know the arguments already. You're not gonna convince.
Dog, you watch this man play, dog, and it's not just about his finishing, dog. Right? It's about his movement in the box, dog, and his technique, dog. Dog, the man in and around the box has always been a predator, dog. And you actually watch the way that he passes the ball, like kicks the ball and stuff, and shoots the ball. The man's technique is fantastic, dog. Like he actually used to score free kicks and things. And like the how often wing backs is there, like Leighton Baines and things, they're like, no, that thing's not common, dog. And I mean, dog, he is phenomenal, dog, in and around the box, dog. And he's tall, I think he's like 6'1" or 6'2". He used to score headers, dog. He scored with his feet, dog. He's moving, he's losing defenders. Dog, I honestly believe, dog, he could have been a really, okay, maybe what is a stretch? See what our great generation's greatest striker. Yeah, that's maybe a stretch. But I think, dog, that he could have been a really, really good striker, dog. I honestly believe Marcos Alonso could have been a top-tier striker, dog. For a good side. A Champions League side, dog. A league competent side, dog.
Boy? I don't know, dog. I don't know. It depends how young you're getting from that. I'll say that. He's built to be a nice striker. He's lefty, too. But it really depends, I think, on how young you would have getting from. Because I think he would have had to change a lot in this game, too.
No, that's fair. Enough. I talk about like if he started this at 2019, whatever it is, though.
Ooh, 2019?
No, as at that age, right? Not 2019, yeah.
Oh. So you can say 1920. Who the hell is it like that?
Sorry. But yeah.
I want to be like this with my points too. I feel like I'm over-talking it. So I'm trying, all right? Nah, but this one here too close to my heart, where I can talk plenty about this one. But I don't care.
Oh, so, you think that's about Marcos Alonso, the striker?
Yeah! I kind of said all I could have said. It really depends on how young you're getting from, because yeah, he have a lot of...
If I'm not mistaken, he was a Madrid Academy product, right, dog? Mm-hmm. If Madrid had claimed to be a striker from early, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I talk about Real Madrid, Castilla, yeah. He is, dog.
Yeah, yeah.
He could have been a big striker, I think.
Probably, I mean, technique is something that is hard to, like, ball striking technique like that is hard to come by. So, he definitely have that nice. For me, I just worried about the athleticism and the movement is... It's more like mental, I think, when it comes to being a striker, rather than anything else. And it really comes down to how quickly he could adapt to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, I'm just not quite sure.
That is all I could ask for this, I make you think.
Yeah, all right, cool. But I'll try to be as short as possible, but obviously this comes from a place of passion. I gotta say that Bayern Munich grossly overrated for the last two seasons, I would even say. But especially this season, and I gotta try to be as compact as possible. If you want to see the last time them even win in the league to start with, you're gonna have to go back to like mid-August, right? Them have not won a game since then. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I think Nagelsmann is a huge problem to that side. I was trying to bait it out of you earlier today, but they wouldn't say that. But I really think Nagelsmann is killing.
I think he's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. He is so hard-headed, right? I think one of the biggest ways to show you how hard-headed this man is the fact that he dropped Goretzka to play Savitzer, right? Yeah.
So,
Savitzer is a nice player, cool. But Goretzka is different. And if you wanted to go with
Goretzka,
and if you wanted to go with somebody other than that, the man would be Gravenberch, right? Because he's who you're just by, and he's a young player. So I could understand if he was to try to integrate Gravenberch into the team, I could make a case for him. But the Sabitzer thing actually makes absolutely no sense to me because he's not a better player than Gretzka. He doesn't even fit the system better than Gretzka. Flecken, Nagelsmann is so hard-headed that when he first came to Bayern, he was trying to play 3-4-3, right? And it failed. Right? It really failed. They looked good against Barca, but other than that, it failed, all right? And he had to switch it back to 4 at the back. And it would seem like he's really out of his depth.
4-3-3,
right? That's the other thing is, though I cannot tell you from a long time, Mane would have never worked as a striker, right? He's just not that type of guy. As you said before, Bayern always plays with an out-and-out nine. And that's not Mane, right? Bayern plays like a killer up there. It's always been that way, right? Mane is not the greatest finisher out there, right? Like, he could score goals, but he's not a great finisher. If you get one chance, bury it every time. You understand what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know why they got Mane in the first place. Because really and truly, I mean, they had nice wingers. Gnabry is a fantastic winger. And Sané and Koeman, who has been
fit. Koeman.
Honestly, you could have thanked on other parts of your squad. That brings me to the defense now, right? Upamecano is a shit snake. That man not good. Right? And then Pavard at right back. Limited.
No, Pat, I genuinely believe, though, that Upar is only get called up to the France squad because he's owned by Bayern Munich. You know? Like, yeah, I genuinely believe that. You know?
I think so, too. And we've seen that before, when Bayern has pushed their players into the national team, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Honestly, and then here's the cherry on top, right? For why Bayern are such a bad team right now. Even though they're going to win the Bundesliga, the morale in that side is just absolutely, like, it's like on the floor right now, okay? I think we had to see Sané acting up. Look, tell me how Bayern could beat Barca 2-0. You sub off Sané, a problem is created. And you just beat Barca 2-0 in a game you should not even win, right? But you create a problem out of a first victory in 5 weeks, right? You create a problem. Like, the fact that Sané gets so vexed shows me the type of, like, morale going on in the back room, right? Apparently, Goretzka is, like, pissed all the time because, rightfully so, he's sitting on the bench, right? I think it has a lot of problems in this team right now. I think Nagelsmann created almost all of them. And for somebody that was a really good coach at Leipzig, I don't know what to tell you. They're not looking good.
And I mean, when we look at Bayern in the Champions League over the last few years, I mean, I know they win the Champions League that 1 year, but I mean, are we going to talk about the elephant in the room and that they won it in a serious COVID year where it didn't have two-legged knockouts and that kind of thing?
Exactly.
But that's a very real thing.
Yeah. So, I don't think it's looking good for Bayern, but somehow their name will come up when we're talking about clubs that are underperforming. You go hear Juventus and them kind of, you would have heard Barca last season. But you
the problem with them is that there's windy league now. So they just get by on that knob boy. But then I think that also is a testament to their league. And this is why I have said that I think the Bundesliga is the bottom of the top five leagues. So I don't think that there is much to expect from them though. Like, don't get me wrong though. I like to see Dortmund come and look decent. I think that I just expect Dortmund to lose nearly every weekend, and it's not anything to do with them. It's like it's just the most typical Dortmund thing, dog. It's as soon as you think that they catch themselves together, they go in and lose, dog. And it seems like it's a hereditary thing with Bundesliga clubs to do that now, boy, you know?
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, to even add to what you was going to say, one of my five was going to be that the Bundesliga is the worst league out there, right? Out of the top five.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put it down because I feel like that's just too obvious now. It's not even a hot take anymore, right?
Ooh,
so
spicy.
Yeah.
I can't lie though. I really like how this going though. I love how this going though. Some nice talking topics here, but
look, I have two big ones waiting for you know. If you think, I'm waiting to drop these last two.
Let's see if we can top this one though.
But
I think that I want to make sure you know. I think Ronaldo's accomplishments in his career too much focused on himself rather than what the team has done. You know, I think that there's this constant thing with Messi that, you know, why Messi don't show up in this moment or that moment. And whereas, like, I think Ronaldo's had a lot of help across his career and accomplishing things. I don't think anything is wrong with that. I just talk about give credit where he deserves now. Because on the other hand, which is so weird, though, that, you know, Messi literally would go and play Liverpool and score two goals in the first leg and create a fourth chance for Dembele, who just screws it up, though. And then on the other hand, now, when they go into Anfield now, he's created left, right, and center, and men not finishing. Who they going to blame is Messi. But then on the other hand, now, when Ronaldo doesn't overturn games for Juventus in the Champions League, nobody bats an eye. Or when is Juventus, or when is Real Madrid with Ronaldo, and he doesn't score in all the finals from open play except one. But Bale is scoring and Benzema is scoring. Everybody looks at Ronaldo to give him the praise. And don't get me wrong. Ronaldo in round the 16 and quarter final games of is different class. So don't get me wrong. He's different than them early rounds and knockouts. So for sure though. But you see when semifinals, I think comes, it when you look back through the years, there's other men that tend to have come big. I'm not saying that he's never come big. You know, he had that year against Bayern Munich that he scored twice against them. I think it was when they went in 2013-14. But like a lot of times his other players come big. Benzema has a bunch of semi-final goals. It had the year that I think Ronaldo missed the entire semi-finals against Man City. And it was Bale who forced his own goal, the sole goal that scored across the tie. And my thing is, okay, this is where I find people get contradictory about this now, is that they will turn and they will watch the fact that this Real Madrid side won the UCL this year, right? And they will turn and say things like how Modric, Cruz, Casemiro is the greatest midfield trio of all time and Benzema is the greatest this of all time and whatever, whatever else, right, dog? And the thing is, dog, I am willing to hear a conversation about them thinking. But you can't come and say that now. And then on the other hand, want to say that Ronaldo never had no help. Like, what is that? That is in itself a contradiction now, boy. I think it's we rate Ronaldo for his ability to take moments of dog at the end of the day. He is not taking up the ball and dribbling past three men and going and score it in it. It's just somebody supplying him with excellent service. So whether it was Carvajal, whether it was Marcelo, whether it was Modric, whether it was Cruz, whether it was Benzema, it was somebody. And my thing is, I think with Ronaldo, though, we just take all his accomplishments and give him all the praise for it. Though. And don't get me wrong, he does deserve praise. Though. He's one of the greatest players of all time. Though. He definitely deserves praise. Though. But when he does not achieve anything, we don't look at him. Whereas on the other hand, with Messi now, when Messi doesn't accomplish something, the first person they blame is Messi. And I think a big part of that has to do with their demeanors as players, dog, and how they just react to things. Or one can get angry and throw tantrums and whatever else. Dog. And the other one won't do that out in public at the very least now. And we allow that to dictate the way that we describe their victories and their losses. Dog. And I find that so wrong. So, to sum all that up, I was going to say that I think that with Ronaldo, dog, he deserves credit for what he's done, and I'm not saying no, dog. But, dog, you can't say that Ronaldo do everything by himself, dog. I think that's a big lie. I think that's a big lie, dog.
I think, especially coming on to the later years of Ronaldo's career, that he's been, like, only service-dependent. You know, like, there was no other part to his game other than excellent ball, I'll finish it. Type of thing. No, yeah, in his years, he won his... His time at Madrid too, he was more than just a finisher, right? I believe that he was more than just a finisher at Madrid. But yeah, he is not as individualistic, or he wouldn't turn a game on its head the way Messi would. Because Messi actually takes that initiative to change a game. If Messi wants the game to be won, he will win it himself. You know, whereas Ronaldo would win a game, but it needs a couple moving parts. He needs service more than anything else.
And that's where Messi gets let down, you see. And the thing is, my point wasn't even anything to do with Messi, but obviously, you just had to talk about the two of them in tandem when you're talking about them, right? Like, the thing that has let down Messi is that I don't think Messi get the kind of support that Ronaldo did, especially in the later years now, but you know? Like, dog, how much we see what Benzema do now, right, dog? We see how good Benzema is, dog. And, dog, again, Benzema should definitely win the Ballon d'Or this year, right? Dog, all them years that Benzema sacrificed himself, dog, and didn't do his best, however, so Ronaldo shined, dog. What I get into, right, is that, dog, we see what Benzema is capable of now. Dog, if Benzema had the attitude that Neymar had, dog, he could have left, dog. He could have been a long time. I'm going to be a star, man. Somewhere else. Whereas, though, Neymar got to say live, like, I want the dip, dog. You know? Messi didn't have that commitment to the team, especially from 2014, come down, compared to that what Ronaldo and them was willing to give up for the team now. Boy. I know that is not Ronaldo's fault, eh? And that's not Messi's fault either. You can't control how other players are going to want their career to dictate now, boy. But it is a factor in the way that their achievements have panned out now. Boy. And it's not even just with Real Madrid, I think now, but it's with their national teams too. The only success that Ronaldo has had that people actually care about is the Euros, though. You know, and the winning goal was scored by a man Eder, who I think played in Russian football now or something, though.
Bro, Ronaldo didn't play the game. The man coach, right? Dog, oh my god. Hey, the thing, I was glad he went on the Benzema thing, because I think that is kind of funny that Ronaldo left. And I would say that in the years that Ronaldo was gone, Benzema was just as impactful to Madrid as Ronaldo was to Madrid.
Yeah,
Benzema scored clutch goals too. Maybe they probably just Benzema probably win as much games for Madrid as Ronaldo did, right?
Yeah.
Now here we are going into it, right? I'm not saying Benzema is as good as Ronaldo. I'll never say that, right? But Ronaldo left, and Benzema almost effortlessly took up the mantle. Who at Barcelona will ever be as influential as Messi?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, it's true though, and I think that even when you watch the Barca side now, even the Barca side last year, as much as they pick up form in the second half of the season though, when you watch them in the Europa League games though, they wasn't that good enough. Like, you know, Frankfurt had all right to knock them out in that game now, boy.
Yeah.
Whereas in a game like that, Messi would have turned it on now, boy. Now not that Messi would have ever ended up in Europa League unlike some men. But my point stands now, boy. You know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, where teams have tried, and the thing is, wait, boy, this guy gets a real, something like Ronaldo here, the thing, you know? But I also think that with Ronaldo, boy, it have this whole perception of him as mentality monster and whatever else. So. But when you watch how Ronaldo career moves over the last few years, was that every time something get difficult, he just wanted to leave, you know? Madrid didn't want to get him a new contract, though. So he leave, though. Yeah. You better set a full. I hear where he's going, you know. He's going to Juventus, who was basically at that point, dog, like how Bayern and Barca was on their domestic league. Yeah. They were just running the league, dog. And as soon as the one season they didn't make top four, dog, he wanted to leave again now, boy.
Yeah. Gone United, and he tried to save for United.
He tried to save for United, dog, and gone, and then went from second without him to sixth with him, dog. And now he wants to leave again, dog. And what does then that say? Dog, if that was Messi, dog, they would have... No, they think... And then you think with Ronaldo and the whole mental image that's portrayed about him, it don't ever get framed like this. But no, that is what it was, dog. You want to talk about Messi doing things by himself? Like, you want to talk about Ronaldo, sorry, doing things by himself, though. You think that Suarez and them last few years, Suarez was 6 years, 6 years, Patrick, without our way goal in Champions League, dog. You think Bale Benzema was doing that, boy?
All right. But
no, but you got a point now, boy. Where dog, them men going into the camp, new dog, and Coutinho and Suarez and Dembele and Alaba. Messi playing chances for these men, and dog, them men are doing nothing.
Yep. I don't think I ever really see Messi run from a challenge, or even like, what is he we're looking for, boy? Like, not take the blast not that the others give him.
No, and the thing is, though, is like, when you watch like with Ronaldo and Messi, right, though, like people talk about Messi turning up in big games and then, right, though, but like, dog, you can't tell me, you can't go back and show me a game with Messi that, you know, like he really missed an easy chance or something, you know. Nobody can go and show me that now, but the way that he's making some with Ronaldo, dog, like, dog, if Messi had get the chance with Ronaldo, get, he would have also scored it. That's just how it is now, boy. But that does not come down to the player, does it? That comes down to the service he's getting.
Right.
Service in Messi, dog.
Right. That's where this kind of come from. Like, Messi's make his own chances and then he's made more for other people. So, that's kind of the thing about being our sister as well. It comes down to the guy you're giving the ball to actually score the goal. You can't do that for yourself. You know what I mean?
That was a problem in my career, so.
Yeah. But then Ronaldo's not really a creative player, so we never really had to see him on that front either. He's always had creative players around him.
No, but wait. Pat, that's my thing, right, dog? He had an era where that is what he was, in a sense, now, but he was a winger. And part of being a winger was also being creative now. But when Ronaldo started to achieve the success that makes him into the good conversation, dog, was when he zoned in his game to just be not a poacher and he says like he just sees a hand around the box, but was so goal oriented though that he forfeited everything else now.
Yeah, I also think it says a lot that Ronaldo devotes his game to scoring goals. Messi split the difference and still outdo him on both ends.
Yeah, yeah,
like, all right, what if Messi had devoted his game to scoring goals then? Might have been a different conversation, right? Because people only like goals. Like, that's the only stat that seems to matter these days. It don't matter.
Dog, you know what? You're real funny with Messi, right? So, I think when Messi didn't score, like, it had a good free kick that he didn't score in the World Cup final, right? Dog, after that, dog, he gets so pissed about missing that free kick, dog. He just mastered it, dog. And he gets sick of it, free kicks, dog.
And that's just what he does. Like, yeah. Anytime you talk about a flaw in his game, I guarantee you, like, not you, right? But anytime, like, the media really brings up a flaw in Messi's game, I guarantee you that the next season he comes out and destroys that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There was a point he was pretty ass at free kicks. Remember when he missed a bunch of penalties too?
Yeah.
You don't really see him missing penalties much again, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know he missed when last season, but it's not bad, and this is not like it's going easy on Messi, though, and I don't think it should be the case where we should write off last season. It's not that, but I do think that some context had to be applied in the sense that, like, though, at the end of the day, we remember these men human, boy, and he didn't want to leave Barca. He was forced to leave, a whole different country, different culture, and whatever, and he didn't want to be there that way. Like, he really wasn't trying then. Like, this season, he actually is. Like, I think this season, he owned the fact that last year was terrible for him, though. And he wanted to make up for the fact that last year was terrible, though. And look how good he is now, you know?
I mean, I also think that if anybody else in any league across the top five, literally any player, right, had hit the woodwork more than 10 times throughout the season, you would hear about it in a positive way. But about that with Messi, right? It's just, he went this season and he didn't score 10 goals for the first time. Oh, this guy is finished. Type of thing, right? How unlucky do you have to be to hit the post more than 10 times? Equal record.
No,
it's true. Most woodwork strikes in a single season. There's more records in man breaking now. But you don't really hear about it, right? So, I mean, we better move on from this, yes, before, but I think we obviously both agree, obviously.
I feel like I probably should have saved that one for last, yes, well, but,
I'll be quick in mind.
So, let's go. Tell me.
I have two contentious ones. I can save the more contentious one for last, and the less.
Sure.
This one is alright. I don't know. I don't know if you would agree with me here or not, but I feel like a lot of people wouldn't agree with me. So this one's similar to the England thing. I think that Saint-Maximin will peak at mid-table clubs. Like, I don't think he should ever even try his hand at the top six. It might happen, because people seem to rate him very highly. I think he's a fun player, but I think he is...
You think he's falling in that same like, bracket with like, Saint-Maximin?
I'm talking about
Saint-Maximin. But that's Saint-Maximin. With Traoré.
No, Traoré is a shit. Saint-Maximin is not a shit player. But he just... I could explain it. I think Saint-Maximin is... He's the man Zaha vibes, right? Except I think Zaha could have made it in a bigger club. I don't think Saint-Maximin could. So this is why, right? I think his tactical awareness is like base level. I think we could both agree on that, at least. He's not a very tactical player. He relies on his physical attributes and his Gucci headband to shine in games. Right? So that's the first part. And we know that as football gets more and more developed, as you move higher up the table to bigger clubs and whatnot, you need to understand what the club is trying to achieve tactically. Everybody needs to be on the same page, right? So that's number one. Mm-hmm. I think St. McMahon is such a high touch player that if he was to go to any of the top six clubs in the league, he would suffer because he would not get the ball as much as he does now. He's obviously the most talented player at, well, arguably, the most talented player at Newcastle. They always look for him. That shit wouldn't happen at any of the top six clubs. He goes to Arsenal, they don't look for him on every play. Same goes for City, Liverpool, Chelsea. Who else in the top six? He's not taking Son's spot. And whoever the sixth club is up for the meet right now. Show us how not United. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah, how do I feel about that?
It gets worse though, because I think in his developmental years right now, Eddie Howe is not the type of man to teach this guy refinery, right? He doesn't put brilliance into St. Maximan's brain. That was trying to say. It's not like he was going with Pepe. He was going with Eddie fucking Howe, right? So, my bad, by the way. That actually was a mistake. But anyway, he was going with Eddie Howe, right? So, I don't think his game becomes much better. I think he probably stays at Newcastle for next year or two. And I think that hurts him. And yeah, for those reasons, I don't think he will do good at anything but a mid-table club. I think looking back on his career, people can say, oh, he should have played at a higher level. But I can tell you now, he shouldn't.
So you think that if Newcastle ever really push that boat and become a top six or make it a top seven club, they're going to have to move on from him now?
Maybe not. I feel like that's a situation where I guess I could see it then. Because he's already part of the club now. Like, not much will have to change.
But you see, you can't move to the upper caliber clubs where they are right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I think the highest he might move to, well, actually, to be fair, Newcastle is probably the best club outside the top six right now. But just for illustration purposes, I would use West Ham as my example because of how they had looked last season and even season before. So I would say then, I think the highest move he might get is probably to West Ham. Yeah. And then there's his injury record too, eh? Like, does a top six probably buy that? You know? So, top plenty. What do you think, though? You think you can make it in any top six?
So I quite like him, right? Mm-hmm. But you made a very valid point about I could just like him. Because I watched him from a neutral point of view of like an entertainer in the league now. Not necessarily because I'm watching him because I need him to score or assist every game or every other game.
Yeah.
I realize him last though. The thing is, I agree with you that he lacks a lot of refinement now, boy. And you're also right. I don't think that Eddie Howe is the coach to teach him refinement. No, the thing is, I think that if he was 20 years old, and Pep had him since then, or even Klopp had him since then I would actually have more hope for it then.
For sure.
But
he's like 24, right?
I mean, I like to tell you, you know, dog, in the summer, I kind of wanted us to go for him, especially when we wasn't going for Neto anymore, and I kind of think I was looking for wingers within the league, dog. I thought about it. But I also knew, in me thinking about him, it was a gamble. It was a gamble in the sense of like, there's a big wild card with him of what do you get when he's a less touch player and you need him to be more impactful and things like that. So I could agree with you. I think there maybe is a higher ceiling for him if he leaves the league. Like, maybe he gets to play for a bigger club. But, like, obviously, like, this is without disrespect, though, but, like, there are bigger clubs outside of the Premier League that aren't as big as the Big Six, or at least what would be the top four clubs in the Premier League, but would be a top four club in another European league.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'd like Atletico as like an outlet for them. He plays, you know, or as I don't know, like at AC Milan or something. If Leao leaves, they could look at him, that kind of thing. I don't know. But like, no, but like, dog, listen, you're making the point about, it's not a case of if they buy him, you know. It's a case of if somebody buys him, if he's a success. And I can't say that he will be now, like, because of the reasons you say. Yeah. So I could agree with you there.
Yeah, I don't think right, yeah, we're on the same page. Cause I'm not saying that he would never move to a top six club. Yeah, I just think that the word I use Saint Maximin at mid table clubs. He will peak at mid table clubs. His best football will be at mid table clubs.
Yeah.
I don't think he plays
good.
Yeah. All right, give me
number five. Cool. My last one. I wasn't sure to say this one or the Ronaldo one first. I probably should have said Ronaldo one last. But this one is that I think David Silva's career is a product of very good career moves and also being born at the right time. And it's not that I don't rate him. I obviously think he's really good, right? And I think that there were points that he was one of the best midfielders in the league, right? But I don't think that he is generational. I really don't. And I think that because of the way that his career panned out, that there are people they picked him as that now boy. But I think he's benefited from being part of Spain's golden generation as well as being part of the City project from the start to the end now boy. Especially getting Pep when he did now boy. Because he got Pep when he was physically declining and Pep maximized his quality while minimizing his physical capabilities now boy. And I think that length on his career a lot longer than it could have been probably with anywhere else now. Well, with most other coaches, I should say that. Because here's the thing, right, dog? I believe, though, that he... This guy make it sound real harsh, though, and I don't mean as harsh as this guy and stuff. But he was like a... He was one of the greatest second fiddle midfielders there ever will be now, boy. You know? At City, it was him. Too, now, boy. You know? And then there was him and Nazri at a point now. Boy. And then when them men get rid of it was KDB, and he was second fiddle to KDB. And he was never a main player or a starter, really, in Spain's squad now, but at least not in the high periods of success now. But I think he played... I saw this thing the other day where I think he even played 90 minutes at the World Cup that they won, though, you know? And my thing is, it's not about talent or anything like that, you know? Or rather, it is about talent, you know? I don't think any coach at any team he's ever been that really achieved anything, whether it was the Spain national team or it was the various coaches he played on the City. Nobody made him the main midfielder at City. And I think that there's a reason for that, you know? I think that he's good and you know he's going to get out. He has a high floor, so what he is. So. But I don't think that he was the guy that, like in an era of times where like there was Snyder, there was Kaká, and there was Ozil, and there was all these guys, though, where those guys will operate at a level where they'll give an India studies runner. Them men was operating at a level, dog. I give you the keys, dog. You hold my entire attack in your hands, or you go and dictate it as you please, dog. And them men could have. And why it is, dog, all these coaches passed him, and not one said, well, dog, I can give you the keys, dog, and we can build the team around you. Nobody did that now, boy. And I think they had to have a reason behind it now, boy. And this is where I see that. I think that David Silva is a great player. But a big part of why he's rated so highly is because of good career moves and being born at the right time. And not because some people think that he's generational. Like, dog, I think that you will see other players like David Silva again. I think Foden is like David Silva, dog. I think Isco, when Isco was fit, was like David Silva. I think that there are other players that are like that now, boy. Whereas there are other players that he was compared to, like De Bruyne, like Ozil, dog, where you don't get those players every generation. You know, those guys come around once in a while.
Well, so with like Iniesta, then you would put him in that bracket of like the same thing as your past Ozil and like Iniesta up there, right?
Yes, yeah.
Right. But I feel like we see in Iniesta part two right now, though.
What do you mean?
Well, you were saying
what
that.
What do you mean? Because right. Iniesta had periods like where he was Iniesta the main midfielder even like after Xavi left and thing now boy and even periods where Xavi was
you're saying that these type of players don't come around so often like but I personally feel like Pedri is well on
course. That's fair, right? But Pedri come a whole generation after Iniesta. That's my point now, boy. These men just come around once every 20 years, though. Whereas, like, I think, like, especially that period of time with the Spanish academy, how they were, though. They was generating these men Not like one every dozen, though. But like they had a few men around that talent level now, boy. You know?
Okay.
Sure, and I think that talent level.
I think this one. This might have any closest you come to convince me. You're probably convinced, man, to be honest. Yeah. I think this was the best one.
It's not about that he wasn't good or anything like that, you know. But dog, we're talking about Vincent Del Bosque, probably the greatest international coach of all time, right? You talk about Pep Guardiola, dog. He was older then, fair enough, though. You talk about Mancini, you're talking about Pellegrini, dog. Nobody ever made him the main midfielder, dog. And it have to have a reason to that now, boy.
Yeah.
You know, they all built midfielders where he was the great dog. And this is what I'm saying, dog. This is sound like it isn't praise, but it is. Dog. He's probably the greatest or one of the greatest best secondary midfielders there ever was, dog. You know?
Yeah.
But like, dog, if we be completely honest, dog, they lost David Silva, dog. And between, I mean, to be fair, I think if Bernardo Silva was allowed to play as a midfielder, right, true, then nobody would have really even know David Silva was gone. You know?
You know, but in a funny sense, they lost KDB and didn't really feel it either.
Nah, but I think, but you see, I think KDB still is like an echelon above him, though, where I think KDB combines ability with, I don't know what he would have looking for. It's not mentality, though, but KDB really likes to write South occasion, though. You know? Mm. As well as, I think KDB is one of the greatest ever in a certain trait. And I can't say that about David Silva now. You know? Like, I think KDB's ability to drive with the ball combined with his crossing ability, combined with his finishing, I think that's a unique combination. I don't think anything about David Silva is unique to the extent that it transcends a generation, you see. Mm. And that is my thing now. You know, Iniesta, Ozil, Kaka, these men though, I think these men had abilities, Xavi though. I think these men had abilities that transcended their generation. It was like, they did this at a level higher than anybody else in their time, though. And anybody else that comes after them that can't do it, though, is also somebody who would be a unicorn amongst horses, though.
Okay. See, the thing is, like, my mind telling me you're wrong, eh? Because we know how talented Silva was.
Mm-hmm.
But you make a lot of sense.
No, but remember, what I'm saying, though, it's not talent or not talent now, boy. It's about talent and then generational talent now, boy. And I genuinely, objectively, can't think anything about David Silva that I thought was, yeah, boy, I never see this before. Or I ain't see this since XYZ player or that kind of thing now, boy. Right. You know? Like, I think Pep wasn't Pep forever thing, though. Like, I think if you had Lee Bernardo as a midfielder, though, then, though, but I would have picked up what David Silva do, and would have just be doing it right through, though. But, I mean, Pep is Pep, man. Pep is forever. Take time, move things, and whatever.
True, yeah. True.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't tell me you think Bernardo Silva is generational, right, though? But I think Bernardo Silva is very close to David Silva now, boy. You know, in terms of the kind of players that they were. And you're not going to come and tell me now that you think Bernardo Silva is generational. So then, why would we think that about David Silva now, boy?
Well, but David Silva, at the moment, at least, I think was better than Bernardo Silva. So are we saying
that I'd say no. But I meant like from the talent point of view. I think the talent level is the same now. I think David Silva is better because he gets to play the role. He got to play the role consistently and stuff. Whereas I think one, I don't really know how much Bernardo Silva really wants to be there because like he constantly asking for a move. And two, like he gets moved around the pitch so much, though. Like, it's kind of hard to be shackled in our role.
True. No, yeah. I think probably convinced, man. It makes sense, the argument makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah. Just weird to think about. But it makes sense.
Yeah. What's yours?
Yeah, I didn't think this one gonna take that long to talk about, so we should be right. But my last one is that I think VAR, like significantly improved football, and I find people see it on the trail plenty. But yeah, I think VAR made the game much better. How has it done that? I think it made the game more fair. Yes, there have been growing pains. I feel like that's all people is hold on to these days. But I think that the idea of VAR was brilliant, because you want to get human error out of the game as much as possible, especially when the stakes become even higher and higher and higher and more money is pumped into the game. So there's more to lose for clubs when you lose games. VAR makes it more fair. That's one. I think the other thing that VAR did was make the game safer, because you're actually allowed to go back and review tackles now and realize, okay, that man do a piece of shit there. Give you a red card. And now, like, the knock-on effect to that is, okay, I can't really do these wild tackles because they're going and catch me, right?
Yeah.
I think we see a lot less, like, horrible tackles now. So I think VAR made the game safer. It made it more fair. Is it as easy to watch with VAR? Maybe not. But also, it adds some drama to the game. So, I mean, take it however you want to take it, you know? I don't really know how to say, like, for the fans. You know what I mean? Like, some fans would say, yeah, it's killing the game because it's always cutting down the game. Like, it's always forcing the game to stop. But other people might say, like, you know, waiting 30 seconds to see if it's actually a penalty is some nail-biting. Yeah. So, yeah, all in all, I think VAR really improved the game. And I think VAR gets better every season. So, yeah, that should definitely be here to stay. I would look back on VAR as one of the major turning point is the wrong word, but it's like the next phase of football, basically. Now, what do you think?
I'd say what VAR has done, boy, it has shone a light, especially on English officiating and how inconsistent they are across the board in terms of the officials themselves. I think it also showed like how poor they are at even applying their own rules, because now you get to review so much things and you don't get to just chalk it up to human error. Now you get to actually chalk it up to the way that they interpret things. I think VAR has been a net positive. I agree with that. I think that I actually have no problem with how granular they are about things with offsides and stuff like that, because the truth is of I don't know exactly how. But I think what VAR has shown is that the offside rule in itself probably needs to be rewritten, right? Fair enough. Mm-hmm. But the way it is now, I don't mind it being granular, because here's what though. I'd rather you tell me black and white if it was right or wrong, rather than the human eye judging it, dog, and he was terribly on or terribly offside or whatever it is, right? My one adaptation outside of like throwing away all the English refs that I would want is that I would want them to stop slowing down replays for fouls and handballs when they're reviewing. Because my thing is, like, dog, the game is a high-paced game, right, dog? Things happen in a split second, so you should review it as such now, boy. You know? Okay. Now, like, watching things, like, offside and thing, yeah, I agree slowing that up. You need to see the moment that leaves the ball, the moment the man move, that kind of thing. Fair enough, though. But, like...
No, but you realize that we don't do that anymore?
What's that?
Well, when last is your referee go to the screen to see if it actually was offside? That's happening there now. Like, I'm telling you, VAR getting better. Like, nobody goes and checks the offside anymore.
Yeah, my point was more towards the slowing down for fouls and handballs and stuff now.
Yeah.
Like, again, the game is so high-paced, so I don't think it's fair to a judgment on microseconds actions now, boy, because, you know, like, you need to actually watch a challenge in its entirety or movement in its entirety to see, like, if a player, okay, was he actually reckless when he go and hit him? Or did he actually, was it like a follow-through action or something like that, now with a handball? Like, watch how his hand was moving or that kind of thing. But if you slow it down, it will always show you, like, somebody hit it always looks worse to slow down now, boy. And I think that's wrong. But outside of that, I think VAR is rather positive, though. I think, like, when you watch how VAR has been implemented outside of the Premier League, mostly, though, in the UCL and in the actual tournaments, there's very little, if any, complaints really now, but like the application is really good. And I think that just more shines light on the standard officiating in the English game.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah, look, I think this is really good. I really think people will enjoy this. I think that this will really spark some nice conversations and Got some nice little tidbits of funny TikTok for people to hate on me, so that'll always be good.
Yeah, cool.
And yeah, we'll leave it at that, bro. Thank you so much, Spats Boy, because we've been here a while, guys. We've been here since like 6:30, and it's now been 10. It's been a while. Thank you very much, my guy. And hey, catch you guys next time. See you soon.
Yo.
Take it easy. Later. But thank you very much, my bro. I really appreciate it.
Wait,
you're welcome.
Oh, yeah. I'll put out now. Where do you support things, eh?
I have no idea, though. But here, what I want you to do, I want when you upload it, dog, I don't want you to make it accessible to me alone, dog, because I'm going to send it to somebody for them to edit it for me. So I might not even download it and re-upload it now. I might just send across the link, if that's possible.
Okay. I was honestly wondering if to just put it on the RPM. On the RPM. Nah, that wouldn't make sense, though.
Yeah. I think it was on your personal drive, you know. On your USF drive.
Mm. Alright, cool. Alright, well, I'll
so,
put it
If you want, I can get a person email for you and I can
That sounds good.
Alright,
so this is where I used to use. Alright, cool. Yeah, I'm putting it up now.
All right, we'll talk. Later.
All right, later.